Society 13 Podcast Network. Redefining podcasts. Society-13.com.
I like to listen.
I have lost so much.
My name's Victoria.
I am bound to this place, charged with guiding those who must choose.
Don't be afraid.
I can never again be the little girl I was.
Will you accept your fate or change?
I have my music box and a library lost, but I sometimes feel very alone. Won't you join me? It's time for your ride on the lift.
Don't be afraid.
Season 2 of The Lift arrives October 2016. Ride The Lift in iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and now iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Channel 9 of the STRY Radio Network, where stories live.
Before you listen to this podcast, be aware this show often uses very naughty language. If you don't like that, you shouldn't listen. Send your complaints to I Am a Whiny Baby with No Sense of Humor at nightstory.com or stop by the studio. I'll take you for a ride to a story of my choosing.
Do you listen to the show, Dan?
No, never. Absolutely not.
You really do?
Yeah.
Really do?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That makes me so happy because I listen to your show, to Ninth Story, and I sometimes try to listen to The Lift as well. I'm very far behind on The Lift. You guys have so many episodes, way more episodes.
Yeah, 24.
Well, that's no on The Lift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only 24 of those.
Oh, I must be thinking.
The Wicked Library has well over 160, 170 episodes.
Maybe that's
my season that I did, season 6, has, I think I counted it up as like 28 new episodes because we did some rewinds and I went back and I cleaned up some of the archives, some of the our favorite stories from the past seasons to update the stuff and, you know, to have a little bit of fun with it. But I need to focus on narrating it, making everybody else's story sound fantastic.
Exactly.
I was saying that it makes me happy to hear that you listen to the show because I've had two podcasts before this that were reasonably well circulated. And something that I found that was difficult to do was listen to other podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. And I always assumed that most podcasters were like me and that they didn't have time to listen to other people's podcasts.
It's a struggle.
So, yeah. Since I started this one, I've made it a point to listen to your episodes, to listen to Myths and Legends, because I like how Myths and Legends and our show can tell, sometimes we'll tell the same story or from the same catalog of stories, mm-hmm. but because of the difference in style, mm-hmm. you don't really, it's like you're listening experience. To two different things, right? Yeah. Which is really cool. And I also try to listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, but those are like 3 hours long. So that's actually a bit harder. And I find that I learn so much listening to other people and I say, oh man, they did that really well. Yeah. Wonder if I could do that well. And so it's become very rewarding to really fully give myself and other people on the team, like Nico's certainly given himself completely to both projects. And it's just been really rewarding, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it is tough to listen to because there's so much other content out there. And I don't listen to as many shows as I used to. I used to drive to and from work, and it was like an hour each way. And now that I work from home, it's a lot easier. I don't have a commute, but at the same time, it's like, it's difficult for me to listen while I work because I do technical writing. So, I mean, I'm doing a lot of writing
and
that type of stuff.
I've been there.
So
that's rough work.
I mean, I do get to write some actual stuff occasionally, but it's I find that I'm typing what I'm listening to quite often. So it gets difficult. And it's like, I can't listen to this show because it's too engrossing. But I do make a point to every Sunday, you know, spend some time and listen to some of the other audio dramas out there, because that's what I'm doing, is creating audio drama. So I need to listen to, you know, what everybody else is doing. And I find that I enjoy it. You know, it's a lot of fun to listen to what other people are doing. And, you know, I mean, I'm pretty selective about the shows that I listen to. But yeah, I mean, that's where we started talking to you initially, is because I listened to and enjoyed your show. And I was like, well, I want to interview those guys.
We went back recently and added a little bump to the first episode, to the pilot episode.
Oh, did you?
We preloaded it. So it's so spooky to listen to. For me, someone who from the beginning has always made such a big deal about audio quality. So I cringe when I go back and listen to like the first half of the first season, or even the entire first season, to be honest. So you hear this intro that says, wow, you're going all the way back to the first episode. You guys are hardcore. Okay, well, enjoy. Just know that things get better, you know, the longer it goes. So, you know, try to listen to everything. And then it cuts from that, which is recorded in the now, you know, to what it was recorded in then, which is an empty barren room with nothing on the walls, on a stone table with no mic shields whatsoever. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to take these things down. They shouldn't even be up. That's how obsessive I am about that kind of thing.
I did recently archive all the past seasons of Ninth Story and The Wicked Library. And
so how does that work? You archive it as just never available again?
They're there if people go to the website and they want to listen from the website, but they're not part of the stream in iTunes and, you know, Stitcher and everybody else. So they're still out there if people want to listen to them. I don't ever want to hide anything. I don't want to George Lucas anything that I ever do. You know, I mean, if somebody fell in love with episode 2 of The Ninth Story, then it's still there. But
I just have to hunt for it.
Don't put any animated characters in there either.
Yeah, exactly. Misa, sir. I'm going to go back and re-edit episode 1 and put Jar Jar in it just for fun.
I just saw that I just saw those re-released episodes for the first time a couple months ago. And I was thinking, why did he do that?
Why is there a dewback in the desert?
Yeah. I'm like, what? Why would he do something like that? They were so good. And his reason was, I think what he said was, they're my movies. And I go, well, I mean, yeah, they're your movies, man, really? But you're really messing my life up.
See, I argue that all the time, because, and it's tough as a writer. And I mean, we're all creatives. We all put a lot of time and effort into our work, and what we create is ours. It belongs to us. But once you put it out there, and once somebody falls in love with it, it belongs to them too. And I mean, it's not theirs to go out and sell and do what they want with. Obviously, you still hold the rights to it, but you don't change something that somebody else fell in love with. And what I always had a problem with what Lucas did was not that he changed it, because I understand you go back and you're like, you know what? I really wish that back then I had been able to do it. Like we were just saying, you know, I wish back then I had better equipment and it sounded better and that type of thing. So there's always that temptation to go back and make an ultimate version of it, but you don't hide the original. You know what I mean? That's the real problem that I've always had with,
because people want that. They want the original,
right?
People who really like it. I want the stuff that's still in the can that never aired.
You know?
Like, that's how we get about stuff like that. We like,
well, you know, think about it too. Marriages ended over that movie because people spent so much time working on the special effects. And just put all the time and effort that they poured into it, people got divorced over that. And I don't know. That to me, it's just like, well, I know that you did all the work and you got me where I am, but screw you. That would be like me going back to the old episodes of The Lift and taking all Nico's work out and going, well, I got a new composer now. Nico was terrible.
He does all funny, like, farm music.
That's right. It's all it's all banjo music. That's where the remastered version of the season one of The Lift is all banjo music all the time. And like, not even good banjo music, just like me on a banjo with no musical training.
Speaking of Mr. Vertizzi's, or sorry, Vertezzi's.
Oh, Vertezzi? I've said this so many times. I'm sorry. It's Vertezzi.
Vertezzi. So he
it's
puts
so hard to get right.
Well, because you say it with an R in it, and I don't see the R. You say Vertezzi.
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 Vertezzi. I don't hear an R. Are you saying R, Nico?
No, I wrote it phonetically. For
Vertezzi, right?
Yeah.
Did I say it right?
Vertezzi.
Vertezzi?
I'm basically a horrible business partner is what's being highlighted there.
But to go back and like the old episodes and things, I think as creatives, you kind of judge yourself on your skills. So as in, I don't know how it works for art or writing, but with a musician, I'm like, I judge myself on how I use this scale or like if I manage to pair this instrument with this. And you because you're so used to yourself, you don't see your own original thing into it. So when people are going back to these old episodes, they're hearing you, but you're kind of hearing what's wrong with it. Like you're hearing like, oh, the audio is wrong.
It's like looking at a picture of yourself. There's always something wrong with your own work.
Well, yeah, you're a better narrator now than you were 2 years ago. You're a better musician than you were two years ago.
I don't know about all that.
You're a better artist than you were 2 years ago. You're judging yourself now. Hopefully you're becoming better all the time, right? As you do more of it and you learn, you're not the same artist that you were 2 years ago. So obviously, because you're more evolved as an artist, your taste is good. And now you're starting to approach your taste. You look back at that old stuff and go, wow, that's not who I am anymore.
See, this is my level of low self-esteem because you're calling me an artist and I do not agree with that at all. I don't consider myself an artist in any way, shape or form, but I will be joining those ranks in season 3 because we've made the decision that since Nico's making custom music and we're having custom dialogue, then these stories that we're telling, we can no longer read them from books. Like, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to find the original telling of the tale and we're going to rewrite them, not to change the context of the story, but to tell them in our own voice. Yeah. And that's something that I'm very nervous about because I do like to write and I used to write a lot, but my writing has not seen the light of day for a very, very long time.
So a trait that both you two share, Tanner and Dan, is that you don't know the meaning of having too much work to do. You kind of have loads to do, and then you think, oh, but I could do this, and I could do this.
I've gotten much better at it. You know, I was getting to the point at the end of season 6 of The Wicked Library and the first season of The Lift, and I was like, things are going to be fine now. I finally understand. And then my composer left, and I was like, oh, no, now I got to find someone to write music for The Wicked Library.
I think I realize. I mean,
it's fun. It's fun. Man. I'm teasing you. It's all out of love.
Did we steal him from you?
What?
Did we steal him?
You paid him. I didn't. So that's there you go.
Oh no! No. Interview.
Let me just clear the air. Clear everything that's happened. So when did I start working for Legends Miss? Was that June? May? June?
Yeah.
At that point, I was doing.
I just thought it was when our lives changed forever. That's a lot.
Oh, I know, right?
I'll tell you this real quick. I mean, this is honestly, though. I mean, all kidding aside, this is the point of what we do with The Wicked Library and The Lift. Okay. Is I want an artist to get so much notice and so much exposure because I'm not paying them that they get an opportunity to get out there and have other people hear their work and go, "Wow, this guy's good." My goal is always to make people too busy to work for me. I know that's probably stupid, but that's the goal.
And it's been a lot. I mean,
find amazing people.
I mean, Dan's given me pretty much most of what I've been done is because of Dan. But going back to sort of May, June, I was doing Legends, Myths and Whiskey podcast. I was doing Lifts and The Wicked Library. And I was music director for those guys. So it was just more or less I'd be doing every episode because when
we
I'm
need
in
to give you a better title. You used to have a title, music director?
Music director, pass.
Oh, man, on the website, what do we call you? We call you a minstrel. Oh, we can't do that. We have to call you minstrel director now.
Yeah.
But there was a Mythos Symphony, there was Carrot Fields, and then there's a video game. So I was doing 6 different projects.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I was like, my head was about to explode. And at the same time, I was just like saying, oh yeah, I'll do this little thing. We're doing like one-offs with people. And I was like saying, I can't do this anymore. Like my head just went.
No, that's so the good problem to have. You know, you want to get to the, in the beginning, you have to say yes to lots of things. And you get to the point eventually where you drown from it. And once you get to that point, then you need to say, okay, I need to back away from some things now because everything's going to suffer if I don't. And it makes total sense. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I spent the last 3-4 years just juggling so much stuff because I want it to be successful, you know, I mean, and eventually it pays off. But it takes time to get there. So
yeah,
I mean, that's totally what the goal was, is for, you know, for people to get something out of it. And when we talk about, you know, the old joke of, well, do it for exposure. If it's done the right way, that works. You know what I mean?
Right. Sure.
It does pay off eventually, but when it's done poorly and people just expect it. And that's why, I mean, you know, Nico, you should never feel that you did anything wrong. I mean, that's what I wanted. I wanted you to be successful. I wanted you to go off and do more. And
this is so father son. I love this.
It was great. I mean, I finished the last episode for the lift. It was a really important episode. It was about an hour long, I think.
Yeah, I think it ran 45 minutes.
And it's like, because Dan, I was just so used to hearing everything at work. So when I was doing the lift, the Wicked Library, Carrotfield, like it was all with Dan. And then there's the social media side of it. And then you're working with writers. And we're all just very much in the same group. So rather, I attached myself to your groups. Thank you very much. and I couldn't figure out how to do it. So I kept on just opening this Pages document, this Word document on the Mac. And I kept on typing this essay and then rewriting it and rewriting it and rewriting it. And then eventually I just said, like, it's Dan. He'll know what I'm trying to say regardless of what I put down.
Yeah.
When I still tried to use big words, it still kind of failed, but don't got the issue. But it's just, I feel like with creativity, it's when you leave a project, it's not like quitting a job. It's very much, it's almost like a breakup in itself. You kind of feel like maybe I get too attached. But
yeah, we all
definitely
do.
Felt.
That's part of being. I mean, it's what makes us artists. I think is that we have all this emotion that we're carrying around, and you know, we care and see things very deeply. Tanner may not want to call himself an artist, but I can tell from what he puts into what he creates that he is an artist. Because to me, that's part of the distinction of being an artist, is that you see the world in a different way, and you have a responsibility to take it and reflect it back to the general population. And you can see if you, I mean, that's one of the cool things about doing the video aspect that the listeners won't get, is you can see how animated people become when they talk about their passion and their project and what really gets them going.
Yeah, I talk in my hands a lot. That's why I'm a Yorkshire Italian.
Italian talks with
it. Tanner's being paged.
Yeah, as am I, actually. But you can't see it because I live in a dark place.
You really do just look like you kind of put bed covers over yourself and it's just you on a laptop. That's
fantastic.
Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
I've got these crude curtains that I pull over the...
Yeah, I saw your video.
You saw it? Okay, yeah. So Brittany's trying to get in to let the dog out, and she can't because I'm like, I'm in an interview. This is very important. I'm on with the president.
Very important business. Okay. Of the podcast variety.
That's right. So what else do we want to talk about? Is there anything that we want to make sure that we discuss and mention?
Didn't Eric make us write like a little list of things to say? And then I can't remember what that list is. Oh, I may have.
That's Eric's other role. Eric is like really good at. So he's pretty much all behind the scenes, right? He only shows up to record. Mm-hmm. And then it seems as if he does not do anything else. But really what he's doing is he's planning, he's vetting, he's seeing if things work, he's forecasting.
Me and Tanner are very inspirational of the moment people. So like one of us will get an idea and we say, this is great, this is what we're doing. Or it'll be the other flip side where we have like one little bad hour and we think like the whole world's going to end. And Eric's just is just the one who just says like, here's the facts. This is what we need to do. This is what we're doing well. This is what we're doing bad. He's the clarity man.
Not the middle, really, because we're so far off to one end, emotional junk.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's your anchor.
Keeps you grounded.
So what's been the biggest surprise for you in working on this project together? What came out of it that you didn't expect?
I think the biggest surprise is that we had no idea that it was going to take this long. We're like, this is a 120-page book. Well, what could it take? We're probably going to do it in a week. No. Nico doing the music has taken him 10 hours a day for, it feels like a month. Is that about right?
It's, well, you gave me the script. I've been doing it for about 2 months, but working on the actual music for about a month and a half. And then it just increased and increased the hours I had to do as it went on. But I mean, it's the way projects work anyway, because you start off with all these ideas and then it kind of dips a little because you think nothing's working, and then you find what works. Mm-hmm. And you want all of it to go. You want all of it to work before that spark comes out. So you work it in one go and then you edit it later, like right. Everyone does. But the biggest thing I've kind of realized, especially just in general, the Legends, Myths and Whimsy podcast, is that people like that we're not pretending to be academics. Like, people like being part of the community. We're like finding stuff out and telling each other wrong. This is actually what happens. And then from that, you kind of realize how big a deal the myths and legends actually are, because it's kind of like a stamp on what culture was like mm-hmm. back then. And with globalization and everything, the way the world is, and it's quite nice to realize how important culture is and how we should sort of keep hold of it and sort of realize that the world's not a bad place. Like, it's full of beauty and richness. And even if it's like a Beowulf story, which is full of dragons and monsters and things, you kind of get the feel. You kind of still realize like how people really trusted their kings and how people are really about being heroic. And yeah, it's just really opens me up to the whole community of myths and legends. And it's quite nice. You always kind of want to be part of something bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved about The Lift and The Wicked Life, is that you're with all these writers and all these musicians and all these artists, and you feel like a community. And then you go into Legends, Myths and Whiskey, and like, it's, I mean, yeah, we do the Myth of Symphonies and we do the podcast, but on our Facebook page and our Twitter, we're constantly getting feedback and people wanting to talk about things. And it's really cool. I'm a very extroverted person anyway, but it's really cool just chatting to people on the fly on the internet, just whacking out a Twitter post like someone you've never met.
Yeah.
Just chatting about random things.
And I don't think that you and I and Eric go more than an hour without talking to each other through Slack, which is I don't mean to plug Slack because, you know, who cares, I guess, but Slack is this messaging app that works. It's kind of like an IRC, but you get all these integrations with it and it makes team communication fun and easy. And ever since we started using it, I mean, we were making jokes, sending funny memes to each other, getting work done, making notes, uploading files, and everything is so central in this web app that I don't know that. And again, this feels like I'm plugging Slack. I'm not meaning to. I'm just so happy with it.
No, I think that's fine though, Tanner. I mean, our audience has always been people that are creating content, and you know, a big part of that is people that are collaborating.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like
a great collaboration
tool. So yeah, I mean, I've used Slack too, and it's a great application. I mean, I use Trello, I use, you know, Google Drive. There's so many tools out there that you can
use.
Both
of those things you just mentioned, Trello and Google Apps, they integrate with Slack.
Yep.
So we'll just drop a link in Slack and you can listen right there in Slack, or you can give notes on it. And then, I mean, Nico can drop something in there. We'll listen to it. Nico will have it edited and changed in 5 minutes. And then we go, oh, yeah, that's perfect. Okay, move on. Nice. Move on to the next thing. And so I think that you asked what was the most surprising thing, other than the fact that it's taking us so much longer than I thought it would take us to do a Mythos Symphony of, you know, 7 discussion tracks and 120 pages. Other than that, I think it's how well the three of us get along. I mean, we're like a well-oiled machine of humor.
You're like the Beatles when they like each other.
We work so well together. It's crazy. We are best friends across countries. It's the craziest thing.
It clicks really well on a personal level. Anyway, like, we really do get along, and we're very honest with each other as well, especially with Eric. Like, we can tell each other exactly what's wrong. But the thing that I like between the three of us is that we all have our own special fields. So between the three of us, we've got everything covered. Like, everything is covered, and it's so seamless.
We respect that individual to just do the thing. Like, if we're talking about data, we'll have an idea and we'll give it to Eric, But Eric will say, that's not right. And we say, okay, well, you're the one who knows how to do that. And if we have opinions about music, we'll bring it to Nico, and Nico will say, no, you're wrong about that. And we'll go, well, okay, I mean, this is your thing. This is your strength. So you know better than we do. And it's such a good team that we have, honestly. The only thing we need now is to take Jeanette away from Dan, and we'll be complete.
Jeanette is getting that's my gift to Jeanette. A dubious gift that it might be is that her and Alexander are going to take overnight story for season 5.
Is this the first time you've said that out loud?
No, I think we've talked about that before, right?
Show. I knew it.
I mean, I don't know whether have we actually officially said it on the show? Probably not. No. I mean,
hey guys, I'm sneaking in, yeah, taking over, kicking Dan to the curb.
That's right.
You guys should have never said anything, and Jeanette should just take over and then let the rumors fly.
That's right.
About what happened to Dan? He's dead. I think she killed him.
Well, and another fun thing that people don't know yet is that Jeanette is taking over the interviews for the Wicked Library for season 7. And not only will that be fun because she'll get to do some interviews and she'll get to ask some other questions that she'll get to post on her blog. So it'll be a good thing for everybody, for the, you know, for the writers as well as for the show and for Jeanette. And, you know,
your blog is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Like
not just in the content, but in the design of the blog. I don't know if you did that or if it's a template or whatever it is, but it looks great.
I'm very good at customizing templates because I don't know how to code.
It looks super good. It's a great blog.
Thank you very much.
It is. It's fantastic.
Put a lot of love.
I only surround myself with the most talented people because it makes me look smarter and better.
It's true.
That's one of the things I can say that I think I'm pretty good at is at building connections and working with good people and collaborating well with good people. I mean, I have so many talented people that are involved in what we make. It's what makes it able to be bigger than it is. It's more than a sum of its parts because the people are so talented and they work so well together. And, you know, I mean, they all get along and they form these outside collaborations and start working on other projects together and things. And it's really cool to be a part of that and to watch that happen.
I would absolutely agree with that because, like, you are very, very good at reaching out to people. I mean, we're all here because of that, for example. But I think because of how our internet friendship has turned into an actual friend. Actually, there's a lot of dudes. I'm running on 2 hours of sleep. Hopefully.
You're doing fine.
That came out. So when you listen to that, it said, there's just been so many dudes. And then there was a stop. And I was like, where is this conversation going?
My brain literally just turned off in the middle of that sentence where I'm just like, what are you trying to say? And my brain responded with, dudes, I don't even know.
Edit. Every time Eric and I do something that we want to edit out, Eric goes, penis, 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 penis. It's like the marker of knowing I have to cut something. I have a filter in Pro Tools that will identify penis, 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 penis. It'll find that waveform and it'll take me there so that I can cut out the previous 30 seconds.
I just use this. It's a dog there clicker.
There, that's your penis, penis, penis. That's your penis.
Yes, this is exactly what it looks like. It looks like a dog clicker.
Like a Snapple tap.
Yeah, that's right. So you were saying
that was going other than like you are very good at making connections, and I have learned a lot from you about how to actually continue said connections.
Is it my turn to blush?
Hello is easy, but continuing the conversation is hard. Or was.
Wonderful. Yeah. I'm awesome.
You are. Aw, look at him change colors. Good job.
Yeah. It's very true though, like you're pretty much in all the social circles out on the internet because you just sort of welcome everyone in, and because you're so good at what you do, people just sort of get drawn to you, and it's like oh yeah I worked with Dan in this project, this is cool, maybe we should do this. Like it's you're kind of like the basis for a lot of things.
Once upon a time I used to be such an introvert and I used to be so shy and no one would believe that now.
And before Alexander knew who you were, Dan, because I was the podcast junkie and he was just getting into it, I'm like, you need to listen to The Night Story, because it's like, Dan, who's Dan? He's like the godfather of podcasting or something. I don't know. You should just listen to it. That was my sales pitch to Alex.
And he's like, this is terrible. I could do this so much better. One of these days, we're going to do this show. And we're going to do it right.
I'm gonna record you an interview that you can't refuse.
Right. Hey, how you doing? You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna take you down to the third story, the fifth story, wherever. I don't know, somewhere out the window.
We're just gonna shove you down the elevator shaft. Have a good day.
Bad things happen. Bad things.
Six savage seasons all in a row. Six scary seasons for the beast to grow. Six wicked seasons to keep you up all night. Six nasty reasons for your wicked delight. Six wicked seasons that you thought was scary. Wait till season 7 of The Wicked Library. September 2016. Visit thewickedlibrary.com. From Society 13, redefining podcasts.
So, buttons.
Long.
You have any more questions, Jeanette?
Silence.
We edit those out.
You should just have like a special one where it's just like long, awkward silence between sorry, Susan.
Welcome to the long, awkward silence show. Like just an hour of like nothing. See who like listens.
Yeah. And just like what I have been doing is muting my microphone because I can't, like, I'm just so broken today, apparently. So many snuffles.
Snuffleupagus.
Mm-hmm. So.
But you're real.
I am real.
Hey, bird.
Hey, bird. Oh, it's a good thing I didn't have any whiskey, because then I literally wouldn't be able to, like, string any thoughts together. Tanner,
yes,
how would you say that working with Nico, has that changed how you've approached narration, or do you continue to do the same thing and he's just kind of flowing with it?
I think that this is going to sound like I think a lot of myself, which I think based on the previous discussion, everyone should know that's not true. I do feel confident in my narrations. I do feel like I feel like inflection maybe could improve a little bit, but Nico came in and he figured out based on my narration, I think, how to compose the music so that it fit best. And so I haven't changed anything about what I do other than, you know, the natural progression of I only started narrating. You know, the other two podcasts I had were not, I wasn't a narrator. So I only started narrating with the Legends of Mist and Whiskey podcast. So in the 36 episodes we've done, I've of course gotten better at it, like Dan was saying before. But I haven't made any changes. Nico made it really easy to come in and he just came in and did his thing, made his magic and makes everything better. And I don't have to worry about matching narration with him. He matches the music with the narration. And I think that's, I'm going to make him blush here. I can see him right now. He's already nervous because he knows a compliment is coming. But I think that's the mark of a true artist. And I think that's what he is. He's just crazy talented. I'm lucky to have stolen him from Dan forcibly. I'm never going to not reference that now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, you can't edit it out. It is.
The way...
truth.
I've never been really good at creating the world itself. So like if I was to sort of make my own podcast or my own video game, I've really, really struggled to get that initial world. But if you have like a world which is, you've got like the main elements there, I will illustrate it and make it really breathe. And that immersion is my thing. It's what I love more than anything. And it's what I really look for in everything. It's what, yeah. I'm not saying words. I'm worse than you, Jeanette, today.
You're looking for a strong, well-built universe that you can inhabit and say, now I'm going to define this and make everybody see all the nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's like coming into a dark room and just shining a light on it.
Nico is the pat of butter on our English muffin.
That's right.
Suddenly, it's delicious. Wait, no, that's not true. It was delicious before, but
I feel like when you guys, if you guys come to the UK, you're going to get horribly disappointed by how we actually are as people. I mean, our food is not the healthiest.
Nico, I don't know if you know this, but we're all podcasters, so we can't afford to go to the UK.
Not unless people want to support us on Patreon.
Right. Yes. Now all the Patreon plugs. Let's do this.
That's right.
All six of them that are out there.
It's a good moment for this.
Yeah.
Brought to you by you guys.
And of course, Ninth Story now brought to you by Rode Microphones.
Yay, Rode Microphones.
That's what I'm recording on. That's Jeanette is not recording on a Rode microphone yet.
Hear the difference.
Soon, guys.
These Rode microphones are what make your dulcet tones possible.
That's correct. It's funny because we actually talked about that on, is it the one that's up now, Jeanette? Is it episode 12, The Art of the Review?
Like sassed at each other for a while.
Yeah. No, we talked about like, hey, maybe we could be sponsored by Rode microphones. And now we are. We make our own reality.
It's true.
We tried to pick up a sponsorship recently from mastersofmalt.com. We're trying to find a way to, because right now we spend $150 to $200 a month just on the whiskey to review. Because if you want to review whiskey, of course there are those little bottles that they sell behind the register, but those are not, I mean, there's not a wide selection of tiny airplane sized bottle whiskeys. That doesn't happen. There's just like Jack Daniels and those, that'd be the only one you can do. So mastersofmalt.com has tasting sets like Flaviar has. And we actually used to be partnered with Flaviar. They would give us whiskey for free and we would mention their subscription service, which is a great service. But they couldn't consistently deliver whiskey. They were delivering gin and vodka. You know, it would be whiskey, gin, vodka, tequila. And we're not the legends, myths, and tequila because things would get nuts if we were drinking tequila on the show.
Woohoo!
So we ended up having to part ways with them and we're still looking for. So if any of your listeners happen to sell whiskey for a living, we're looking for ways to kind of cut down on that cost because it's pretty substantial for us, the booze.
Yeah.
I have a question for Mr. Dunn.
Sure.
I was just, you know, I mean, you're obviously a writer, you write on your stuff, but like when you're writing for The Lift and when you're writing, if you do stories for The Wicked Library, do you change the way you write to make it a narration or do you just keep the story as it is? I mean, I know you do edits, but.
Do you write different than you read? That's what you're asking?
Yeah.
There is a difference in writing for audio and writing for the written form. When you're writing something that you know it's going to be read aloud, it is a little bit of a different experience. I mean, my punctuation and stuff changes. I know that because I'm always thinking about how it's going to sound. But with the stuff that I do for The Lift, I try to make it live in both worlds. And because I used to commute back and forth to work for a long period of time and I used to listen to a lot of audiobooks, I became very cognizant of like how something sounds. And one of the things, and I remember this from years ago when I had a writing instructor that said, always think about how it sounds out loud, because it needs to sound natural out loud. Right. At least that's my opinion. So I tend to always be hearing. I'm a very visual and auditory person when I write anyway. So like I hear the characters' voices and I see the scenes and the settings that they're in, which is probably a type of insanity, but I'm very much like watching a movie whenever I write. Like I can see what's happening and I can hear what's happening. So I think that my style has always kind of been geared towards becoming, it's easy for me to take something that I've written and translate it into audio, which is a long way to answer that question. But I haven't written for the Wicked Library a lot. I've written like a couple of very short pieces because the whole goal of that show is to feature the writers and the musicians and the artists. So I don't want to step on their toes. I don't want to be front and center. I mean, my ego is not that big. In fact, for this new season, for season 7, we're actually going to have guest narrators too, because I don't feel it needs to be all me. And I think that in some cases, a different voice, especially, for instance, like in a female-driven story, it serves the story better to have a different voice. You know, like I'll read a story that, you know, I'll read as a woman. I don't have a problem with that. But I just think that for, you know, respect for the listener and respect for the story, that it serves a better purpose to have a good, strong female narrator narrate a story that is a female-driven story. If that makes sense.
Sometimes you need a snare drum instead of a timpani.
Nico could probably tell you that. Yeah.
What's a timpani?
Timpani,
boom,
well.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Like you say, timpani's tunes, percussion is basically big drums, but it'll have like 12 of them. You've seen an orchestra. So when they're going boom, 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 they're actually hitting notes, like bass notes. Mm-hmm. But snare's like a type of timpani too. So it's basically, I want to play my piano, but like you guys won't be able to hear it because it's plugged into my Mac. It's a way of making songs just using drums. So especially in Beowulf, there's loads of percussions and you hear the drums a lot, but they're actually playing their own notes. Because it's so low down, you don't really notice it unless you're really listening, but it just works so well, the immersion, where I can't really do any real melodic stuff. I'll just whack a drums and do percussive stuff instead.
That's cool.
I'm just going to put this out there and see if you guys are interested in doing this at some point. Would you guys like to have maybe a cross Patreon only kind of chat where we have a conversation like this and invite both of our patrons to it and just talk, take questions, stuff like that? I feel like that could be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be game for that.
Have you checked out? So I don't think it's Patreon that makes it, but there's huzzah.io. Have you seen this? You can look. I think it's $10 a month or something like that. And it integrates with Patreon so that you can put together a streaming video that's behind the Patreon paywall so that you can't access it unless you're a supporting patron of the show.
Okay.
Which is something I feel like has been trying to be mastered for a long time by other people.
Yeah.
And I tested it out and it works pretty cool. I mean, they just go there. They click on log in with Patreon. They log in with their account and they can see your feed.
Oh, that's cool. So I really appreciate you guys taking the time to sit down and chat with us for so long. It's been fun. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Did we ask all the questions we wanted to ask Jeanette?
I think so.
If not, we'll just have to interview them again, right?
Just have to have us up for the trifecta interview.
That's right. Maybe we'll do something on Patreon or something.
You can all come home for a cup of tea if you want.
Yeah. Are you buying the ticket?
Yes.
We'll just sleep on your couch.
Yeah, okay, you're like a little pedal boat.
We'll B&B under your piano stand.
Nice.
When I say piano, I mean it's got weighted keys and everything, but it's just like a over-exaggerated keyboard.
Yeah.
I don't have like a massive grand piano yet. Hint, 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 hint. I need a grand piano.
Well, maybe if all three of us put all of our money together, we can not afford that.
Yeah.
That's not gonna happen.
It's fantastic.
But it does the job.
Thanks for having us, Dan. We really appreciate it. The opportunity to share with your listeners the Mythos Symphony we're working on, and you know, of course now they've heard Legends, Myths, and Whiskey probably a dozen times.
Yeah. So drink some whiskey, listen to some myths, and go out and buy Beowulf. It's available now for pre-order.
LMAW.bandcamp.com.
That's right.
Yeah, buddy.
And it will actually be a little bit cheaper on Bandcamp than when we get it on iTunes because, and I'll just come out and say it, Bandcamp charges 20% and iTunes charges 30%. So we have to adjust the price for the loss. We put a lot of work into this.
Yeah.
So
we
can't sell it for a dollar, even though we'd like to.
Exactly. It's for love and for love of money.
For love of the hoard gold.
And so they can make more excellent shows, right?
No, it's a Beowulf reference.
I know what you're talking about.
There's a hoard of gold and a dragon.
All right, gentlemen and lady.
Flowing.
Okay. Have a good night, everyone. Thanks for listening. Go to Patreon. Support everybody's Patreons.
Well, wait a minute. At the end of our podcast, Eric and I like to do a little jingle.
Oh, well, by all means, let's fade back in for this.
Yeah, we like to sing a song, just a random goodbye song for example, the last episode that we did before the Dagon H.P. Lovecraft episode was we did a little Muppets outro. We said, it's time to go. It's the end of the podcast. We'll see you all later on the next show.
So that's yay!
thunderous applause.
It's because me and Tanner now share a YouTube account for Legends, Myths, and Whiskey, and it shows the history of all the stuff. You don't know this, Tanner, but it shows a history of all the things Tanner's watched on YouTube. And just like theme song after theme song after theme song. It's like, how much bloody research do you do into this?
He's like, and then it's otaku porn, and I don't really understand how that's getting there. So yeah, you guys should totally fade out on that song. That's awesome.
Okay.
Otaku porn. Otaku porn. Otaku porn. Otaku porn. Otaku porn. Otaku porn. Otaku porn.